Hello, it's Wayne Perry, the TV carpenter here. Can I ask you a question? Are you a DIY doer? Meaning, do you like DIY? Do you like fixing things in your home? Or does it frighten you and you'd rather somebody else did it, like your other half, or you paid somebody to come and do it? The reason I'm asking the question is, it's either one or the other. People don't realise anyone can be a DIY doer. And for me, when I say that, I don't mean the big jobs. I don't mean putting up shelves. I don't mean laying laminate flooring. For me, DIY is about having a safe house for you and your family. So when I say safe, knowing how the smoke alarm works and why does it beep, or knowing how to turn your water off if your house is flooding, or if the fuse trips and your electrics go out, knowing what all the buttons on the fuse board do. So that's a safe home. I think everyone should have that. Everyone should have a practical home, meaning everything should work as it should. So if your curtain tracks falls out the wall, you know how to put it on. Or if your toilet seat breaks, you know how to change it. But also, I think everyone should have a beautiful home, knowing what paint types to use, knowing how to upcycle some furniture. If you would like a safe, practical and beautiful home, let me teach you the DIY around it. All you need to do is join the DIY Doers Facebook group. You can find it on Facebook, or you can go to my website, thetvcarpenter.com, and I'll link you straight through to there. Let me help you create a safe, beautiful, and practical home for you and your family. On today's show, I chat with Cliff Tan. He is an architect and feng shui expert.
Even I cringe when people ask me, oh, so how's the energy of my space? Because it's not really about that. It's about making your space feel good for you. And I will try to find out where the movement is, how, where the busy parts of your room are, where the quiet, peaceful parts of your room are. And we allocate the functions accordingly. Yeah. So I try to see it in a more functional way, but of course you can always package it in a very woo-hoo, superstitious, mythical, mystical way. But at the end of the day, it is about you. However you want to package it, it's about how you feel in your home and how it supports you, your environment.
Hello and welcome to the TV Carpenter Podcast with me, your host, Wayne Perry. This is a podcast where I interview my friends from the world of interior design and garden makeover shows, all with the aim of inspiring you to create your dream home. A huge thank you has to go to my sponsor, Thorndown, for sponsoring this podcast. And while I was at the Idle Home Show talking to Cliff, I asked him to look through the Thorndown colour charts and pick out any colours that jumped out to him. And what was really interesting is I looked through his socials to when he was talking about colour, and he mentioned that he chose his wall colour from an inspiration of looking at the inside of the toilet roll tube, the cardboard that's inside the toilet roll. He decided that he wanted that to be the colour of his walls. So I was really intrigued to know which of the Thorndown colours he would pick, and this is what he went for.
I love the toilet roll colour. So dew coat stone, I like that colour.
Dull coat stone.
Because it's a very natural colour. Like in feng shui, we kind of like natural tones that remind us of nature. Like in nature, you wouldn't have stone walls that are bright yellow. Bright yellow belongs to very precious things like flowers or bright red. You find them in flowers and animals, poisonous animals. Where you have large swaths of color, they are usually a natural tone, like a rock face. And that's why I use toilet paper roll, because toilet paper is recycled. It's made of natural material. There's no pigments in it. And so it's the most calming kind of tone.
Ah, that's the thing behind it.
Yeah.
After he explained why he painted his walls the same colour as the inside of the inner tube of a toilet roll, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But if you would like to see his choice from the Thorndown colour chart of dull cut stone, check out their whole range of colours by going to thorndown.co.uk. And for listening to this podcast, you can get 15% off any of your online purchases by putting in the code TVCarpenter. So check them out at thorndown.co.uk. How's your week going? Mine has been really lovely. I've had It started off really with, on Sunday, we got to celebrate 100th episode of Love Your Weekend with Alan Titchmarsh. So if anybody watches that show, you will know that I'm the DIY expert on there. And I have been, nearly since the beginning, really. And the show has just gone from strength to strength. And to be part of something which has become a success is just amazing. So we celebrated 100 episodes on Sunday. And then on Tuesday, it was Interior Design Masters. I didn't work on this particular episode. I was filming something else. So I didn't work on the bridal suites. But weren't they amazing in Rutland? I think what the guys have done were amazing. And we've now got our final three. And I can't wait to see how they continue on. I'm on next week. I'll be there helping them do salons. So enjoy that one. And then today, which is Thursday, I'm recording this the day before this podcast comes out on Friday. I've been filming BBC Morning Live. I was up in Manchester. And it all starts with showing people how to create raised beds and how to do up your garden. So it was lovely to be up in Manchester. So I've been a little bit crazy. I've been all over the place this week. I love seeing all the different things that I get to do and create and inspire people to have a go at picking up tools and create dream spaces. So I hope you're enjoying watching all of these shows as much as I enjoy being part of them and making them. But the main event today is an internet sensation. So Cliff Tan is an architect. And he was presenting some talks at the Idle Home Show on the same day that I was there. So I suggested that we got together and recorded the podcast and live at the Idle Home Show. And he was up for it. He thought, what a brilliant idea. So I got to sit with him on the main stage at the Idle Home Show and talked all about the principles of Feng Shui. And we talked about the whole idea that some people think it's really woo-woo and, you know, what is it about? But I listened to him and picked out things that I think would interest interior designers when designing spaces, and talked about certain elements of interior design and how that, you know, by having and incorporating principles of Feng Shui in your design and in your home can make a difference about the space. And I loved his honesty about it, and I loved how he said, you know, some people do think it's all a bit, you know, magical and mysterious, but actually if you think about the basic principles of it, it kind of makes sense. And I ended up buying his book, and I've been reading it cover to cover. And now I'm even looking at houses with my wife, and I walk in and go, no, it's not Feng Shui. Like that's going to affect me down the line. So it really does kind of get into your psyche. So this is the main event. This is my chat with architect and Feng Shui expert, Cliff Tan.
Cliff, thank you for coming on the TV Carpenter podcast.
Thanks for having me here. It's really excited.
I'm glad you're here. My first question to you is, earlier on, I was teaching DIY how to arrange picture arranging. And I'm a bit of a compulsive picture straightener. Things bother me when things aren't right. How are you going around the Idle Home Show, looking at the show houses and all the room sets? How is your Feng Shui head coping with all of that?
I am looking more around the general energy of the space, like where the movement are, the pathways, and how you feel around the spaces. Like Feng Shui, it comes in two, like various forms. You have Feng Shui for the home and Feng Shui for businesses. Uh-huh. So I'm looking at the Feng Shui for businesses, which shops, which stalls have the best energy flow, the most customers walking through, and how it benefits them. So that's what I was looking at.
So you're looking at them. So I bet a lot of businesses will now come up to you and go, is my store Feng Shui? Is it working?
For example, I saw a few shops that were in such bad positions, and you can see them like just empty, nobody there. Yeah. You can't blame them. It's not because their product is no good, but because no one can even see them and you can't get to them.
No one can get to them. You've become a huge internet sensation, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to know, what was your background? Have you always been interested in Feng Shui? Is it in your blood?
So I am an architect, and I feng shui has always been part of what I do. I'm from Singapore and we take it very, very seriously. And so when I design houses and plan homes for people, I always incorporate the theories of feng shui behind it, just subconsciously. I don't explicitly say that, oh, because of feng shui, we're doing this and that. I just design it in a way that's, to me, it's sensible.
Yeah. And you said you've been an architect. Where did you train? In Singapore or in the UK?
I trained in Singapore and then I trained in London.
Okay.
At the Architectural Association. And I registered here, so I'm a registered architect in the UK, not in Singapore.
Okay.
And I have always been a very traditional person in that sense. I'm not big into social media. It's strange.
It's not big into social media, but you've got 2.7 million followers.
I didn't even know how to make Instagram stories. I was not into any of those things. I didn't even know what was Instagram until much, much later.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of fell onto me and I had to catch up to what this is all about, this stuff.
So you say you train in architecture. You say the feng shui was all part of your family and you've always done it. So you just subconsciously just did it within architecture. What do your family think about you doing feng shui and teaching feng shui now?
Well, my granddad was a feng shui master, so I got small tips from him. So
a feng shui master? I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah, his proper master. I wouldn't consider myself a master. I practice it, I teach it, and I'm more of an architect and space planner.
Yeah.
And I try to teach people in turn what feng shui is and educate them and just share that it's not a scary thing, it's logical, it's not superstition, and that anyone can apply it to make their homes feel nice.
Yeah. So, I'm 46 next week, and I remember when people would say, oh, it's not very good feng shui, or they would go, I've got a feng shui person to come and look at my house, you would kind of think it was a bit woo-woo, right? So I want you to dispel to me, why do you think people have that perception of feng shui?
It is woo, and it's strange. Even I cringe when people ask me, oh, so how's the energy of my space? Because it's not really about that. It's about making your space feel good for you. And I will try to find out where the movement is, where the busy parts of your room are, where the quiet, peaceful parts of your room are. And we allocate the functions accordingly.
Yeah.
So I try to see it in a more functional way, but of course you can always package it in a very woo-hoo, superstitious, mythical, mystical way. But at the end of the day, it is about you. However you want to package it, it's about how you feel in your home and how it supports you, your environment.
So if someone, I'm using my dad as an example, I was like, Dad, we're getting a feng shui guy in to come and sort the house out. How would you convince him that it's worth taking knowledge of or listening to?
So with my consultations, I always try to learn about my client. I learn about them. Do you work from home? Are you single? What are your hobbies? So I can build a picture of their lifestyles, the way their habits are, and put myself in their shoes and how I would occupy this space. Because a home is just a shell. You need to fill it up in your personal way to turn it a home. And It's impossible to just come into someone's house and say, put your bed here, put your table there, without actually knowing how they're going to use it and how their daily life will be.
Uh-huh.
So with that, it's kind of a blend of your personal habits and also the inherent energy of the space and how you make the most of that.
I like the idea when I spoke to you backstage, you were talking about, you use the analogy of choosing a seat in a restaurant. Now explain to my listener about that, because I thought that perfectly sums up the idea of feng shui.
Oh, totally. Yes. So I love to use this analogy. Like when people who say that, oh, feng shui is just rubbish, I say, okay, imagine yourself walking into some busy restaurant or cafe and you have your laptop, you want to spend 2 hours working. Where would you sit? There's the seats next to the entrance. There's the seats next to the counter where you order your drinks. There's the seats next to the bathroom, seats next to the window. There's all these seats and supposedly they're all one and the same. They're all the same. There shouldn't be a difference, practically speaking.
The food's the same, the drinks
food's
the same.
Nice squishy seats. What's the difference? But you wouldn't pick any old seat. You would make a decision. You'll look around you, like you will avoid sitting at the entrance because it's too busy. You avoid sitting at the counter because there's a big queue, people standing right next to you. You avoid standing next to the toilet because you can hear the hand dryer. You would pick a nice spot, quiet, far from everything, good view out the window maybe. Nice view, And you put yourself there, and within those few seconds, you have analyzed the whole room, made a decision that suits you, and you go straight for that seat. And so, all of us have this ability to sense the space around us. We're quite intuitive with space. It's just about being aware of it, especially in our own homes, where it's so important we spend more of our time there.
Yeah. So it's almost like a subconscious, we're kind of, like before I was talking about picture arranging, it's all about subconscious brain does things and makes you relax and enjoy the space. I imagine it's the same with the Feng Shui then.
It is the same. And the subconscious is a very important thing that you just said. Like, for example, the picture frame. People know if the pictures are hung nicely or not. Yeah. But they don't necessarily know how to do it. So there you are teaching them how to make it nice. So here I am teaching them what to look out for.
Yeah. So within, you've written a book, the Feng Shui Modern Book, which is amazing. And I've been looking through it. And you say there's a few, like when you walk into a space, there's a few points that you should always think about, and one is like the energy and the chi. Explain to me what that is in a space.
Oh, chi is an interesting concept. So in feng shui, you hear about chi all the time, like chi this, chi that, the energy.
That's what gives it the woo-woo bit, though.
It is. But the funny thing is that in English, we call it energy. In Mandarin, chi translates to the air, the vibes of a space, not actual energy. But chi is something that refers to many things. Like, I like to ask people to imagine themselves being in a totally empty room. And then you open, imagine yourself in a room. No windows, no nothing, no doors. There's no energy whatsoever. And then you open a small window. You sense the difference. You look towards the window. The light shines in. You can feel a breeze. All these things are energy. And it also comes in the form of if I hang a big heavy chandelier over you, or if I pointed a knife at you, even if it's not going to actually attack you or hurt you, you feel uncomfortable. Even though like you are just sitting on your chair and there's lots of people walking around, they shouldn't be affecting you, but you feel the movement, the bustle, and those are all forms of energy that affects your space.
So in a room or a walkway or a lounge, you've got the energy of the hustle bustle of people, because we all create little corridors within our, round a coffee table or around the back of a sofa. So I suppose you've got that energy, you've got the window energy, so you've got the natural light coming in, you've got overhead lights, you've got the door energy where people are coming into a room. So these are the energy points that affect how you lay out your furniture.
Totally. So you acknowledge that there's movement, busyness in your room, and you also acknowledge what you want in your own space. If I want to make an office in my living room, I want to be in a more quiet part of the living space. I don't want to be having my computer next to the kitchen, it's too busy. So I will pick the nicest, quietest part of the living room to plonk my desk, to plonk my screen. And that is how you kind of segment or zone out your living space to support your needs, your particular needs.
So that's chi, that's energy. Mm-hmm. What's the command position?
So the command position, so returning to our little restaurant analogy, here you are finding the best part of the restaurant to sit. In that part of the restaurant where you have your table with four chairs, how do you place yourself? Even if you're in the best part of the restaurant, far from the busyness, close to the window, you wouldn't want to sit with your back towards where the waiter will be walking. You want to sit in a way that you can see the waiter coming towards you. So the command position is...
Me and my wife do this all the time. We'll sit at a restaurant.
Yes.
And she always has to look over my shoulder to see as people are coming in. And I have my back to everybody. So I'm looking at a blank wall. So she's got the better deal then, I take it.
And the fact that she is choosing that shows that she is aware of her senses and you are not.
So I've just been told I'm aware of it. I'm aware that someone's going to tap me on the shoulder or drop a plate on me. But my wife, she has the upper hand, so she gets to be there.
Very good. So that's exactly what we're talking about. You kind of know it. And so the command position is characterized by 5 different animals. So uh-huh. This is where you're going to start to sound woohoo and weird. So we have 4 aspects and the central, and each of these aspects is characterized by a certain animal. There's the dragon, the tiger, the bird, the tortoise, and the snake. I'll just talk about the 2 main animals, which is the tortoise and the bird.
Yeah.
So the tortoise and the bird, each one will refer to one side. One is your back, one is your front. Yeah. Which one do you think applies to your back? Which animal do you think applies to the front? Tortoise and bird.
I would say... Oh, I don't know. Tortoise on the back because it's got a shell, and bird at the front because it can fly.
Exactly. Yay! So the tortoise symbolizes support. Okay. It symbolizes like good structure, support, stability. Where you don't have eyes, you cannot see. You want to lean on something, a nice backrest. Whereas the bird, it symbolizes openness and inspiration and flight. And you can also, which also means that when you sit, you don't want to face a wall. So you don't want to sit with your face towards a big tortoise shell. You want to have the openness in front of you.
So that's why you, your bed kind of needs to be anchored in a space with a wall behind you so that you don't have to worry about something attacking you potentially from behind.
Exactly.
Even though you know no one's going to attack you, but it just subconsciously, it's just a fear, that a feeling that you have.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
And I found this really interesting. What's a money corner?
The money corner is a certain part of your living room that you put a bunch of nice shiny stuff, and it helps you manifest wealth. So, like, to manifest something, you need to see it. And the best place to see is where it's in a nice prominent spot of your room, and that location is called the money corner. So it's characterized by being a place that you can see from the entrance, so that the money can see it from the inside. And it's also the furthest, deepest corner of the house that's still within sight, which symbolizes the money going deep into the body of your home.
So you're encouraging the fictional money into your house to not just stand at the doorway, but to come into the main part of the house.
Exactly. So I always tell people, imagine you're a big, fat, giant golden coin floating around, and you enter your door and you see a pile of golden coins in the corner of your house, and you feel like you are inclined to join your friends in the corner.
Okay.
And so you're drawn to the deep inside. But I mean, like, that aside, more practically speaking, when you come home and you see a nice piggy bank overflowing with coins, it just makes you feel like, I have saved enough. I am not impoverished. I am in a good place. I can add more coins. I am building wealth. And it makes you feel good and confident to strive to earn more money.
I like as well the idea that we talked before, that all of these principles, you know, you can't guarantee wealth. You can't guarantee that you're going to feel great. But by implementing these subconsciously, like you say, for example, you know, an office position. You talked earlier about how having the office or the desk in the right place suited for you will make you be more productive. You
know, yeah.
So you, by implementing all of these little things, will actually help you achieve what you want to achieve.
Exactly. So it doesn't guarantee. I always compare feng shui to like sending your kid to a good school. Like sending your kid to a very, very good school doesn't guarantee that they will get a good job. It just helps. You have all the resources that you need. It gives you a good support, but it doesn't actually guarantee. You still have to work hard. You still have to work for your money, but it just makes it easier. Less obstacles for you.
And this podcast is tailored quite a lot to interior designers. So I wanted to touch on, obviously, we haven't got all your social media. You have these amazing videos, and I recommend checking you out on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. I started following you last year, and I've just been lost in all of these videos because people send in videos because they want you to rip them apart. They want you to like kick off with them. What's the craziest video that you've ever received that's made you kind of go, what?
The craziest one was someone who said, make my room as unfeng shui as possible. He wanted his room to break every single rule and to be as crazy as you possibly can. Fair enough, if you like that kind of excitement in your life. So I made a response video to show where is the worst place to put things. Where is the place you get the worst of the energy hitting on your face when you're trying to sleep, getting the most of the pathway in your way. Make it as inconvenient as you can. And I think even that is a good way for people to learn.
To learn what not to do.
What not to do.
I said earlier as well that this is geared towards interior designers. Obviously, we don't have a visual medium because it's a podcast. But I just want to touch on a few little subjects that people will use as interior designers within their home, and my listener will get to make decisions. Doors in a bedroom. I build carpentry for a living. I build like a bank of wardrobes that might have six doors on it, and you've got the main door to the room. What's your tips when fitting doors in a bedroom, and how can you the best practice?
Okay. Ideally, a bedroom should have only one door, which is the entrance to the room, and a window. You don't want to have too many doors, even if they may be wardrobe doors or closet doors. They should feel like wardrobe closet doors. You should not be confused as to which is the entrance door. How many times have you been to someone's house and you walk to the hallway and you're like, which is the exit door? And you become a bit confused. You're like opening, oh no, that's just a closet. Oh no, that's a bathroom. Ah, here's the entrance. So it's important to create this hierarchy visually. So feng shui being what it is, it also informs interior design, because you want the styling to fit into it. You want your closet doors to blend with the walls so that it's not so obvious. When you're sleeping, you only focus your eye subconsciously towards one door. You only know that that's the only place someone can come in, not from the closets. So with placement also, you also want to really regard where the door is and have the bed as far from the main entrance as possible. And once you get the positioning right, you realize that the room will feel much nicer. There's no point in making your home so beautiful with all the nice things if the bed is in the wrong spot. It just feels off, right? Yep. So once you get the positioning right, it stands the test of time. No matter what style, what colors you use, it will always feel right as a good basis.
So as an architect, I've seen lots of house layouts where they'll have the main door into the bedroom, they'll have a door for the ensuite, they'll sometimes build double doors which are like a walk-in wardrobe. So those four doors there all look the same, and they tend to buy a job lot because the doors are all the same make. And in my mind, I'm like, that's good, they're all the same make, they all look the same. But you're telling me, as an architect, you wouldn't design it that way.
You want some hierarchy to make the room less confusing. It's also really bad if you have to walk through the bed to get to the bathroom, walk through the bed to get to the closet. It's best if all the doors can be near to the entrance and the sleeping area is just like uninterrupted, just for sleeping.
Just a nice little nook. Mm. Talk about rugs. In some of your YouTube videos, you talk about the power of a rug. Explain to my listener why a rug is good in feng shui.
So a rug is important because a rug helps zone out a space. Where you put a rug, you will define the zone, which is why the placement of the rug is very important. Many people, they don't put the rug centrally. They will put it like against the wall, and that kind of defines the room as being uncentered. And also, when you have a rug and you're defining a space, all the seats associated with the space must be on the rug. If you have a chair that is off the rug, you will feel like you are out of the party. You're not welcome in our little circle.
Yeah.
So it's important that everything that's associated with the rug is on the rug. It's important that the rug is centered to the zone that you want to define it as.
So you don't necessarily mean just the center of a room. It could be if you've got a lounge area, it's the center of the lounge area. It's the center of the dining area.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you have a very large shared space, you can have two rugs, one marking the lounge, one marking the dining area. Or if you want to use the entire space as one, you put the rug, a bigger one, right in the middle of the entire room. And that will it's quite powerful in its way that it can really define the zones.
So it anchors the space.
It really anchors the space.
Mirrors.
Mirrors.
Because everyone has the mirror as you walk in the door, you check yourself as you leave the house. Give me some do's and don'ts with mirrors.
Oh, mirrors. Mirrors are the thing that's most talked about in feng shui. In anything that's superstition related, they always talk about mirror. Because a mirror is a portal to another world.
You can see, is the woo-woo bit again.
That's the woo-woo bit. And let me explain so you can understand it. When you look into a mirror, you are looking at a reflection of something. Right, so it's almost like a window. It's live. It's not like looking at a picture which is static. You look into the mirror, as you move, the background moves. It reflects anything that's moving inside. So because of that, a mirror in itself is kind of magical. It's more energy than a picture. It's in fact more energy than a window, because a window is just the view. Whereas a mirror, you control its movement in your position, your perspective. So a mirror also reflects things, so you can control what's inside the mirror. So you want to plot where you're looking at the mirror, what it reflects. And you tend to want to avoid a mirror reflecting yourself the moment you enter the room, because that will startle you. Uh-huh. You want to avoid mirrors that are broken or like a bit distorted, because when you look into a distorted mirror, you see yourself, your own reflection being distorted, and that's a little bit uneasy. That's why we have this thing, it will never break a mirror. Breaking a mirror is a bit like taking your family picture and tearing it apart.
Okay.
Yes, it doesn't affect your family by tearing your family photo apart, but nobody will do that because it's crazy.
Yeah.
So mirrors in their inherent qualities has all these connotations, and that's why we kind of are more careful with mirrors, not because they actually bring back luck, but because if you reflect clutter, you just make your room look very messy without even adding extra clutter.
You're doubling up the mess.
You're doubling.
So where is a good place to put a mirror?
A good place to put a mirror is where you want to double good stuff.
So you could just shine it on your money corner.
You can totally shine on your money corner. You can reflect your view, make your windows look bigger. You can shine on some plants, make your room feel greener. You do not want to reflect your messy stove or your sink, for example.
Yeah.
You come in and people will ask, but a mirror depends on where you're looking from. How can you determine? But the truth is, we usually look at mirrors from very set positions in the house when we enter the room. Our pathways around the house is more limited than you think. We have a very, very like limited amount of places that we actually stand in the home, and that's where you kind of plot your mirror's reflection.
You talked as well about artwork. There's a really lovely chapter on art. Explain how art can be beneficial.
Ooh, art really hits on our subconscious when we see art. I like to give people an example. Would you hang a picture of a ferocious dragon over your bed? I mean, it's just a picture. It shouldn't matter, right? But seeing this big, scary creature hanging above your bed already disrupts the peace of your room. And that's why a picture can speak a thousand words. It can affect the way you feel in your space. You want to hang pictures that go well with the activity in the zone. Like if you have a dining room, you can hang things that kind of work well with your appetite. You wouldn't hang gross stuff
in your rotten food
in your dining room. It will kind of ruin your appetite. So you want whatever art you hang to flow with the use in the space.
I saw on one of your TikToks you had the door to a flat and it opened up and there was a wall in front of you. To the left was the toilet and to the right was into the main house, into the flat, in the living space. And you changed the artwork so that it subliminally kind of, it was like a ship that was going one way or a tree was leaning towards the lounge. So subconsciously, you walked in and you naturally were guided into the space. And I thought that was really interesting.
Exactly. So you can use art, you can use light, you can direct the flow. You can subconsciously direct people and their behavior using art and light. So by hanging a picture that suggests to turn to the right, for example, a ship billowing to the right, you tend to just naturally turn towards the right. And that's how you can craft your journey in your home.
I love all of this. Like I say, I thought this was woo-woo. And then since I've been following you, I'm addicted to your videos. What I love about you, and you've got your own interior design practice as well, that you kind of got called Dear Modern. You still speak, like, even though we said you've got 2.7 million people on TikTok, your YouTube, you've got 642,000 people on YouTube and Instagram, you've got 419,000 people on Instagram. You're an Instagram sensation. But yet you still find time to have hourly sessions with people. I was speaking to you earlier and said, I do 4 hours every day and people can book you and chat with you. How far in advance are you booked up at the moment?
I'm usually booked about 4 months in advance. So now the nearest bookings is in August. We're in March now?
So April, coming up to April.
So it's quite long. I kind of underestimate this thing. I'm trying to meet people individually. I feel that the only way to do this right is to really understand the person as if they were me, to completely empathize. And that's when you can really benefit. So I still try to meet people one by one personally. And yeah, I hope it will not change. But it's amazing because ever since I started, I've met over 2,000 individual people from all over the world. And I learned a lot from them. Like, I thought I knew a lot before I started, but now I realize that there's so much more to learn about the world.
And if people can't get, you know, don't want to wait 4 months, they can check out your Feng Shui Modern book by Cliff Tan. You can buy it here at the studio, at the Idle Home Show, but also you can buy it on Amazon or any good bookstore. Final question to you is, I want you to describe to me your dream space and what you're drinking whilst you're in this space. So it could be a place you own or a place you aspire to be, but what's in this room and what you're drinking while you're in
it? Oh, it will be a room with a view. I would like a nice room with a nice big window facing onto the water. Because in Feng Shui, water symbolizes wealth and opportunity. And you want to be able to see it and get all its nice energy along with the sunlight. So nice big windows on a nice high floor, great view, and I would just be drinking water. Nothing special, because water is such an important thing to feng shui. Feng shui literally means wind and water.
Wind and water. So you've got the sea view and your water. Cliff, if anybody wanted to contact you, what's your Instagram? Or what's your website or any of your social medias? What's the best place for people to come and find you?
So it's very simple. It's just Dear Modern. My handle on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube is all the same. My website is also called Dear Modern.
Yeah.
So... You can find me on my website with all the links to everything over there, where you can book me or even buy my book.
Cliff, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on the TV Carpenter podcast.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
All right then. So what are your thoughts? It all totally makes sense to me. So as I'm thinking about, you know, literally sitting in a coffee shop, you instantly make a decision about which area would be the most comfortable to sit and why, and the experience of being in that space, what would enhance it and make it work for you. And I absolutely loved it now. So I've slowly become addicted to some of the principles. If you get a chance to check out his social media, if you go on his TikToks or his Instagram, you will get lost in the world of them, because he's so funny. And the way he literally, people send in videos to him because they want to almost be roasted by him and kind of told how stupid they are. Then he does it, and he's just this lovely man who just wants to help people and help people to create their perfect space. And if you want to, you know, send him your details so he could, you know, work out a plan for you, he will do that. I definitely recommend checking out his socials. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I loved chatting with him on the main stage at the Adult Home Show. And also, don't forget, you can get 15% discount from Thorndown, my sponsor of the podcast. All you need to do is go to thorndown.co.uk, type in the code TVCarpenter to take full advantage of that discount code. But also, I wanted to say, if you wanted to contact me, come and say hello. Find me on my website, which is thetvcarpenter.com. Go onto any of the Facebook groups, the DIY Doers one, particularly at the moment. I'm trying to chat with as many people as possible to encourage people to pick up the tools and have a go, so that you can have that safe and beautiful and practical home. And if you have any questions for me or any thoughts about any guests that you would like me to get onto the podcast, please message me. Let me know. But for now, all I want to do is say thank you for listening to me, Wayne Perry, on the TV Carpenter podcast.